at AA said that when I came back 13 years later. My friend suggested that we contact a man she knew who was a member of Alcoholics Anonymous, and I agreed to call him. Perhaps he could call you, she said helpfully, which was the key, because by that night I was just fine and didn't need any outside help, aside from a drink or two. But he kept phoning and bothering me about going to a meeting. When he told me he went to AA meetings 3 or 4 times a week, I thought, poor man, he has nothing better to do. What a boring life it must be for him, running around to AA meetings with nothing to drink. Boring indeed. No bouncing off walls, no falling downstairs, no regular trips to hospital emergency rooms, no lost cars, and on and on. My first meeting back at AA was on an unseasonably hot June night, but there was not a cool drink in sight in that church basement. The smoke could have choked a horse. Today it is much improved. And a fanatical woman with smiling bright eyes eagerly explained to me that they had this important book I should buy. Thinking that they were doing the book promotion because they needed the money, I said firmly, "I'll give you the money, but I don't want your book." Which about sums up my attitude and explains why, for the next few months, I continued to get drunk in spite of dragging my body to meetings every few days. I would stare at the large vodka bottle in my kitchen cupboard and say, "You won't get me." But it did. I always lost the battle and ended up drunk. My last hangover was on a Friday before a long summer weekend. I had struggled through the day feeling small and hopeless, hiding the trembling of my